WTCH, and welcome back. Good morning, I'm Doug Rogers. Welcome to our special programming today, Race for Sheriff 2018, You Decide. Our studio guests this morning include Challenger Officer Keith Sorley, producer Kayla McKenzie, videographer John Kupski, and Chuck Dallas, who will be presenting our candidates with questions.
Well, thank you, Doug. Today we're talking with Challenger Officer Keith Sorley. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here at WTCH. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, you'll have 25 minutes to answer our main topical questions in the categories of communication, drugs, highway safety, budget, and employment. We'll then open the floor to questions from your opponent, set at a two-minute limit, and then we'll close with some final comments from yourself for about 1 minute. So our first category, Keith, is communication. How have you or how do you plan on keeping the community informed when it comes to issues that affect their safety, and what information is important for them to know?
Well, in the past, the radio, the television, and more recently social media have all been used to keep the public informed as to what's going on at the sheriff's office. In the event of an emergency, of course, we try to break into to news reports and stuff like that. But as far as communication goes, keeping people informed of stuff isn't always just telling them things. Sometimes it's going out to places and meeting with people and having a conversation with them and saying, this is what we're trying to do, and then listening to them to hear what they think needs to be done.
Sure.
You know, I was out in Burnhamwood the other day talking to some folks out there, and they said, you know, sometimes we don't have the police presence that we'd like to have. And they said, we understand that Shawnee County is a big county and there's only so many deputies to go around and that kind of stuff. But we've had instances where we've had traffic accidents, the ambulance has shown up, loaded the patients into the ambulance and left before a deputy has shown up to work the accident. Yeah. I said, well, that's interesting. I mean, that's something certainly that we would like to know about, you know, as a police agency. How can we serve you better? So then we started to have a discussion about how, you know, does Burnhamwood need a town or a village constable or something like that? And so one of the village residents asked me to gather some information up for him about some different options for increased police presence in Burnhamwood. And I did that, you know. So I think that communication isn't always just telling someone,
sure,
you know, what we're doing. It's sitting down, meeting with them, and finding out what they need and what we can provide for them.
Yeah. Okay. Second question is, how can we create or continue to create an overall positive relationship between the general public and our deputies?
Well, there's a lot of ways to do that. One way is to be a professional police organization. Have open lines of communication. Allow people to give you input, you know, on Facebook, on Twitter, on social media. Go out to the village board meetings, to the town board meetings, to the school district meetings. Find out, you know, what's going on. Because when they are involved, when they think they have a voice in what's going on at the sheriff's office, they'll have a higher regard for the sheriff's office as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've kind of laid a little bit of groundwork for is trying to work in conjunction with a local college to get a police department report card. Right. So what I'd like to do is have some social worker or some students who are involved in the sociology department come to the police department, interview deputies at the police or at the sheriff's office, interview jail staff, interview dispatch staff, interview inmates, interview, then go out into the general public and interview the general public so that we can get a feel for, you know, not only how we think we're doing, how the inmates or the people that we're arresting think we're doing,
yeah,
and how the general public thinks we're doing,
okay? Yeah.
You know? And I think if we find the right partner, we can do it without any additional cost to the sheriff's office. And it's something that we can use to build our relationship with the general public.
Sure, sure. Okay, Keith, our next category is drugs. How does Shawnee County compare to other counties when it comes to illegal drug dealing and use? And how much of the department's time is spent on drug-related calls?
Well, it's really hard to tell how much time we spend dealing, you know, with drug use. I mean, you can look at the amount of arrests that are made and stuff like that. But when Tom Tuma, Captain Tuma, and I were going around to communities and giving drug presentations, part of his introduction was 80% of all people who are incarcerated were high or intoxicated at the time Wow. that they were at the time that they committed the crime. Okay, well, if 80% of the people who are committing crimes are doing it when they're high or intoxicated, that number that you just asked me about is a pretty high number.
Sure. Yeah. Yep. Okay. What can we do or continue to do to cut down on the distribution of illegal drugs in our community?
I think we have to send a strong message to the people that are distributing drugs in our county that we're not going to put up with it. You know, we need to strictly enforce the drug laws. Recently, we had a incident in the city where we executed a search warrant and we found a guy with 4 ounces of cocaine. Okay, that person was sentenced recently and he didn't receive any prison time.
Oh.
So we're talking about $8,000 worth of cocaine that he was obviously distributing and he's not going to go to prison for it. Okay, that's sending the wrong message to the people who are distributing drugs.
Yeah.
It sends a message that, you know, we're not really tough on drugs here, so come on up and do it.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, and maybe to tie into that just a little bit is our next question. Are our current laws at the county level fair and efficient in handling drug-related crime? Is it set up in a way that is proving success in the long term? And is there anything missing, Keith?
So one of the things that that I differ with my opponent on is the marijuana ordinance citation. And when you talk about fair drug laws, this is a prime example of that. So in Shawano County right now, if you possess marijuana, you can be issued a civil ordinance citation for that possession, or you can be arrested criminally and charged with a misdemeanor. Second offense possession of marijuana in the state of Wisconsin is a felony. So okay. If you're convicted a second time, it's a felony. Well, if you got a citation the first time, it doesn't count as a conviction. So the second time you possess marijuana, you could, if you only got a citation the first time, you could get another citation. You could be charged with a misdemeanor. Or if you had been unlucky enough to be charged with a misdemeanor the first time, you could be charged with a felony.
Okay.
So you can run a gamut of misdemeanor, civil ordinance citation, or felony, all for the same offense.
Sure.
That's not fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What can the county do better to prevent drug use before it starts? And how can the Sheriff's Department be a resource in making that happen?
Well, I think we need to go back to getting into the schools, getting into community organizations, and giving drug talks. Okay. When I was here with the Sheriff's Department, Captain Tuman, another investigator, and I went out and gave drug talks. We, as a matter of fact, one of the Optimist Club Officer of the Year awards that I won was because we were going out and performing that service for the public.
Yeah.
So we need to start doing that again. We need to make sure that our drug laws are being enforced fairly and strictly. And on the other end of things, we need to have something here in Shawano County for those people who are addicted to drugs so that they can get rid of their addiction. Okay, right now, I had a conversation with a young lady who was a self-described drug addict, and she said, I don't want to be a drug addict. You know, I know it hurts my family that I'm a drug addict, but I don't have any resources here in Shawano County to help me not be a drug addict.
Okay.
So it's all up to me, and I fail. She said, yeah. I know I fail. I don't want, she happened to be in jail at the time, and she was hoping that probation was going to send her to a rehab facility.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, so there's three components to this. The first one is education. The second one is strict and fair enforcement.
Yeah.
And the third one is to give these people that don't want to be addicted anymore an option once they reach the point where they decide they don't want to be addicted anymore.
Sure. Yep. Okay. Our next category is highway safety. There are a number of factors impacting highway and roadway safety. There's drunk driving, drugged driving, distracted driving, speed, road conditions, and high-risk intersections. Is there a good all-in-one approach that is efficient in battling these factors?
Well, I don't know how you could have an all-in-one approach that battles road conditions. You know, that's up to Mother Nature, really. I know from conversations that I've had at town board meetings and with citizens, sometimes the citizens don't feel like they have a say in what the DOT is doing, all right? I was at the Town of Herman town board meeting, and they were talking about the intersection at Highway 29 and County Highway U.
Sure.
Well, they were talking that they knew that there was going to be some meetings coming up about restructuring Highway 29, especially through that area, but they didn't know when the meetings were going to be held. Well, it just so happened that the day before I had been at a different town board meeting, and they'd been talking about when those meetings were going to be held.
Okay.
So I was able to provide them with that information. In reference to that same intersection, I also happened to have a conversation with a lady that lives near that intersection. She said, "We hear the crashes. You know, when we hear the crash, we call 911 and tell them, hey, there's a crash at U and 29 again."
Yeah.
She said, it's not the speed that's the problem there. It's the fact that there's a little dip in the road, and the people that are stopped at the stop sign on County Highway U don't see the people on 29 coming.
Yeah.
And she said, a lot of times it's people that are coming back from the casino and stuff like that, so they're, you know, either they're tired or they've been drinking or there's, you know, there's other problems. She said you could fix that problem if you just leveled out that little dip. Well, who's talked to that lady other than me? You know what I mean? Why isn't the Department of Transportation getting that information?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good. What kind of influence does the Sheriff's Department have when it comes to recommendations on highway safety beyond patrolling? Are there groups or organizations that we can create working relationships with to help out?
Well, I think you could create a relationship with the State Patrol and let them know that we need some more help on Highway 29. You know, when I was a trooper out in the Black River Falls area, I worked on I-94 and I-90. At that time, it was required that highway was manned 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there was always a trooper on that road. Well, Highway 29 is just as busy as I-90 and I-94 were.
Right.
Why don't we start to talk to our legislators and say, hey, can you get us some help up here? Can you bring another trooper up? Can you make Highway 29 an interstate so that we can get 24-hour coverage on Highway 29 from the State Patrol?
Yep. Okay. We'll move on to our next category, which is department budget and expenses. So how does Shawano County make sure they're up to date on useful technology, like body cams, scanners, computers, and stay within an already tight budget?
Well, the key there, I think, is to find the technology that's going to work for us and that is going to have some sustainability to it, okay? There was a deputy that left the Sheriff's Department recently, and when he left, he said, you know, we have video cameras in our cars, and half of the video cameras don't work. Well, if we can't afford to keep the technology that we have up to date and working, what's the sense of buying the technology in the first place?
Yeah.
Right? I know, so the key here, I think, is to find technology that we really need that would really be useful for us and to implement that, all right? I told you about the person that I was talking to who was a self-described drug addict. She said that her gateway drug was alcohol. She said what happened to her to become addicted was she got convicted of drunk driving and she got sentenced to Huber. And when she was in Huber, they would give her a breath test every day to make sure that she hadn't been drinking. So in order to defeat the test that she was given, she was introduced to Percocets in the jail. Okay? Well, how did they get the Percocets into the jail? People were secreting the Percocets in body cavities. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the technology that we should be looking at is some kind of X-ray device that keeps people from bringing controlled substances into our jail and, you know, impacting lives of people that we're supposed to be protecting inside the jail.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, we pause for station identification. You're listening to WTCH Shawnee.